Praise God. Anything else? Oh, yeah, it is free. It's free. It's a free class. And we taught it last year, and it'll be a blessing to you. Just to help you strengthen your foundation. And then let's pray over our giving for tonight. You know, it's a joy and an honor to give to God. And you can do that anytime during our service. In the back there, you can give in the back. You can give online. You can give through our bookstore. There's all kinds of ways. So, Father, thank you so much for enabling us to give into your kingdom, Lord. You are the source of all good things in our life. And we're so thankful, Father, that we can honor you with our substance. So I bless every gift and giver. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 3. It's a very interesting night because I heard some of the words before I woke up, and then I heard some of the rest of the words as I was driving today, and didn't know what I was going to be talking on, but the Lord does. Amen? And so while I was driving, you know, I heard these words. I didn't hear an audible voice just on the inside of me. The best place to be. Amen? And so, you know, the best place to be, and I'm not talking about here in this building, all right? The best place to be is accessible to all, okay? I'm just kind of wetting your whistle a little bit. Just kind of, you know, getting you salivating ready for the delivery. Because I got you all wondering, what is the best place? Some of you probably already guessed, but that's okay. It is where you can go and encourage others to go. So it's accessible to all. You can go and encourage others to go. It's a place that benefits those who are there. Okay? It's a place that you can go to anytime, and it's available every day. It's a place that refreshes your soul, casts out your fears. It invigorates you with new life. It encourages you, inspires you, and strengthens you. It is a place of rest, a source of joy, and a safe place. Does it sound like some place you want to go? It's a peaceful and fun place. It's the best place to be. How many think you know where that is? What I'm talking about, the best place to be is in Christ. Amen? Yeah, now Christ is a person, Christ is a place, and Christ is a position. Ephesians 1:3 says, He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So the best place to be is in Christ. And we're going to look at some of the benefits that we have of being in Christ. Amen? When people get born again, they become part of a family called Christians. What's the first five letters of that name? Christ. It's the anointed one. He's the Messiah. That's his position. That's his title. He's a person. He is Jesus. But he's also a place. He gives us access to all of God. And all of us can come in Christ. All of us can benefit from Christ. All of us can receive from Christ. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. And in Galatians 3:29, it says, if you be Christ's. Well, why does it say if? Because being Christ is a choice. You become Christ when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. When you call upon Him, when you make Him Lord of your life, you are in Christ Jesus. Getting in Christ is the most simplest thing to do. You ever wonder why God made it so simple? Because He wants everybody to come in Christ. Because it is the best place to be. Amen? So if you are Christ, how many of you are Christ tonight? Amen? Then you are Abraham's seed. Did you know that because you're Christ, you're Abraham's seed? And my most favorite part of this verse is the last part here. And heirs according to the promise. Did you know that you are an heir of the promise? Say, I'm an heir.
I'm an heir.
Hallelujah. So, you are Christ. You belong to Him, and you are in Him. And you're an heir. So, what I get from this verse is Christ is the key to your inheritance. God made a will. He made an Old Testament, and He made a New Testament. And in order for that will to be effective, someone had to die. Jesus died. And therefore, now His will is in effect. And guess what? He wrote, if you're in Christ Jesus, your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and you are a beneficiary of God's will. That means everything in Christ Jesus is yours. You can have it. You can have fun with it. You can use it. You can do whatever. You have access to all of heaven's best. Romans 8, 14 through 17, you don't have to turn there. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So what makes you a son? Allowing the Holy Spirit to lead, guide, and direct you. And He's also including daughters in that. It says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Listen, God did not give anybody a spirit of bondage to fear. God is not in the fear business. He's in the faith business. Okay? And when He comes in, He casts out all your fears. When perfect love comes into your life, He casts out all fear. So then you're fearless. Amen. But you received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. When you become a child of God, you get a signal from heaven. That signal goes into your heart and it resonates and it says, you are mine. I love you. I've chosen you. I've called you. So come. Hallelujah. And we're here tonight because we've answered that call. You came out of darkness and into the light. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. What is a joint heir? Whatever Christ gets, you get. Your joint. You know, God's got more than enough to go around. So you are I want you to see yourself as a joint heir with Christ, with the anointed one, with the anointing, with the Messiah. You are a joint heir with Him. Because God has brought you. He's invited you to the best place to be, and that is in Christ. And when you suffer with Him, you'll be glorified with Him. So Christ is the anointed one. It's the Messiah. And it comes from a root word that means to smear or rub with oil. You know, whenever you have a sore ligament, you might take some cream, right? And rub it on there. And when you rub it on there, it seems to kind of get inside. Listen, God wants to rub Christ on us so it gets on the inside. It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ is in you. God put Christ in us so that we could be in Christ. Go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. This is in no particular order, and I don't have them numbered, so we're just going to go over some qualities of what it means to be in Christ. Because Christ is the best place to be. He's accessible to all. He's the source of joy. In his presence is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Christ is seated in heavenly places, and we're seated right there with him. We have a place in God because of Christ and the work that he's done. Romans 1 and 16. The Apostle Paul, he made a statement. He said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of who? Christ. That's the message of Christ. That's the good news of Christ. Jesus is good news. What's the good news? You're forgiven, you're redeemed, you're healed, you're delivered, you're set free, you're filled, you have purpose, you've been found. That's good news. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. He was not ashamed to stand up. He was not ashamed to speak about it. He was not ashamed to witness about it. Christ was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? Because it is the power of God. The message of Christ is the power of God for what? To salvation. But here's the key. Who is it the power of God to salvation to? Them who believe. You've got to believe in the message of Christ. You've got to believe in the power of Christ. You've got to believe in him in order to benefit. If you don't believe, you don't benefit. If you believe, you benefit. See how that works? To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So, the good news about Christ, it's the power of God. The Bible says in Acts 8, Philip went down to Samaria and he preached Christ. And you know what happened when he preached Christ? He cast out devils. He healed sick people, and the Bible says when he preached Christ, there was great joy in the city. So Christ ought to, when you preach Christ, there are results that follow. Because Christ is the centerpiece of the gospel. Without Christ, there wouldn't be a gospel. Amen? It wasn't Jesus' last name, it was who he was. Jesus the Christ. The Son of the living God. And so the message of Christ is the power of God. Christ is the key to God's power. If you want to walk in the power of God, then you've got to have some knowledge and understanding about Christ. What he did. Why he did what he did. What did he do? He came and lived a perfect life. Did you know that Jesus lived a perfect life? He lived a life without sin. Then he died as a substitutionary for ours. He took all of our sin, all of our pain, all of our mistakes, all of our shortcoming onto him. He took it all on him. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But he didn't keep it with him. He nailed it to the cross. He paid the debt, spent 3 days underneath the earth, but on the third day, he rose again. And because Christ rose, guess what? You are destined to rise too. Because, why? Being in Christ is the best place to be. So Christ is the key to God's power. You want to operate in God's power? Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And we get to know him. Now, if you're a joint heir with Christ, are you a joint heir with his power? Yeah. Did not Jesus himself commission the disciples to go and do what he did? He said, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. He said, cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, freely you have received, freely give. He gave them the same power that he himself operated in. Why? Because if you're a joint heir with Christ, you're a joint heir with his power. God's power was made for you to flow through. You are a conduit. You're like a copper wire in God's kingdom. You know, certain things don't allow electricity to flow through it, but then there are other things that electricity is like the expressway in Germany that has no speed limit. I forget what it's called. Autobahn, yes. Amen. So God wants us to have faith, not in the messenger, but in the power of God. Paul himself said, I'm not here to speak with eloquent words of man's wisdom, but I'm here by the demonstration and the power of God. The Holy Spirit is the demonstration and the power of God. What is preaching without power? Preaching needs power. And if you're preaching Christ, then God's power is backing you up. Go to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. We're going to spend a lot of time in Romans tonight. I just don't want you to be roaming around. What, you have your home base and then you have your roaming. You know, cell phones do roaming, not roaming, roaming. I'm just making a play. Romans 5. Look at verses 10 and 11. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement, or you might say the reconciliation. Okay? So what is reconciliation? It's a compound word that means to exchange. It means make an adjustment. It means receive the restoration of divine favor. It means atonement. It means to change mutually. It means to compound a difference or to make different. Okay? Now, before we came in, before we knew Christ, we were enemies of God. Because of the original sin of Adam, we were born into sin. When we were all born, we were all sinners. Notice I said were. Because guess what? Because you've come to Christ, you're not just an old sinner anymore. He actually removed the sin nature and gave you his nature. So you're not an old sinner, you are a new creature. Old things have become new. You're a new creature with a new feature. You got a new song and a new walk and a new talk and a new way of living. But Christ is the key to our reconciliation or change. It was through Christ that we reached a settlement with God. Christ established a resolution. Christ reunited us with the Father. When we didn't know Christ, there was nothing we could do to get to the Father. There was a gap. There was a barrier. We couldn't break that barrier, but we needed a Savior. And God sent the Savior as Christ into the world, and he bridged the gap, and he reconciled us to God. He gave us an exchange where now we can approach God's throne. Now we can access God. It's all because of what Christ has done. Amen. That's why Christ is the best place to be. Amen. And we can rejoice because through him we've been reconciled. We've been brought together. It means the conflict between the flesh and the spirit have ended as far as our sin. Amen? So Christ, you want to change? Christ is the key to change. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed. That word transformed is the root word, is the root for metamorphosis. It's when a bullfrog becomes it's when a tadpole becomes a bullfrog, or a caterpillar becomes a butterfly. You know, they undergo a metamorphosis, a change, a transformation. They build that cocoon. Think of that cocoon like Christ. You hide yourself in Christ and you come out a new person. And no, you're no longer crawling, you're flying. because Christ is the key to change. And guess what? We better embrace change because it's going to happen whether you like it or not. Amen. But Christ came to initiate change in our lives. And when you're in Christ, you're no longer living to yourself. You're living for someone higher, for a greater cause. You actually die to self and live for Him. Amen? All right, go to verse 15. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God. You know, I love it. When God contradicts the world, it's always much more. He uses heavy-duty adjectives when He wants to do something different than the world has done. He said, much more. The grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, has abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned, by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. So what does that tell me? Christ is the key to receiving God's grace and righteousness. We would not become, we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When God looks at you now, you know who He sees? He sees you red. He looks through rose-colored glasses. He sees you as He sees Christ Jesus. When He looks at you, he sees you as Christ. He sees you sin-free. He sees you redeemed. He sees you sitting with Him in heavenly places. He sees you victorious. He sees you healed. He sees you whole. He sees you full. He sees you joyful. He doesn't see you depressed. And it's all because Christ is the best place to be. Christ is also the key to reigning in life. God wants you to reign in life. Who reigns? Jesus is Lord of, He's Lord of all, but He's also Lord of lords, isn't He? Who are the lords that He's Lord of? You and I. Isn't that true? God wants us to reign in Christ. How do we reign? We enact righteousness and principles found in the Bible. We can tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Doesn't the Bible tell us that in Luke 10? You can literally tread on serpents and scorpions, which represent the enemy, the devils and all of his demons. You know, the Bible said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against who? Principality. Did you know that you can wrestle against demons and win? Amen. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness of this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. But when we wrestle, we win because we're doing it in Christ Jesus. We're doing it from a position of victory, from a position of authority. What happened when Paul cast out the devil, the spirit of divination that was controlling the woman who was following them? That spirit had to leave, didn't it? Paul had a revelation that woman was being hindered by an evil spirit. And so Paul took his authority. He spoke directly to that spirit. He said, come out of that woman in the name of Jesus. And that spirit had to obey. And we have to understand who we are in Christ Jesus. When you show up to the battle, you've already won. It doesn't matter if you have to fight or if you don't have to fight, you already won. When David came onto the battlefield of Goliath, Goliath was throwing taunts. He was defaming God. He was challenging, and there wasn't any person in the Israeli army at that time willing to face him. But it took a shepherd who had a tussle with a bear and a lion. You know, God will prepare you for the giant with the bear and the lion. Some of you might be facing a bear. Some of you might be facing a lion. But just know that you're bound to get victory over a giant. Yeah, you might be in a fight right now. But know that you're in a position to win that fight because you're in Christ Jesus. And because you're in Christ, you're using his tools to fight the enemy. You can't fight the enemy through natural means. You got to use the word of God. You got to use the armor that he's given you. You got to use the Spirit of God. You got to use praise. There are so many spiritual weapons in our arsenal in Christ Jesus. So you can reign through Christ. You can reign in righteousness. You can walk in victory. You're justified freely. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 4 through 9. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Christ Jesus. Did you know that you have grace by Christ Jesus? What is grace? It's God's ability, it's God's power, it's God's favor working on your behalf. Did you know that grace is greater than sin? Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Grace always trumps sin. Grace is greater than sin. You know, sin could be happening, but grace walks on the scene, and that sin's going to have to scatter. It's going to have to stop because grace is greater. So when we think of this country and the hour that we're living in, let's not focus on the sin that's abounding. Let's focus on the grace that's much more abounding. Let's focus on the grace of God that gives us the ability to push back the darkness, to keep the enemy at bay and at check. Let's focus on the grace of God, God's riches at Christ's expense, G-R-A-C-E. So it goes on. That in everything, you are enriched by him. Did you know that in Christ Jesus, you're enriched in everything? Does that sound like it's making better or making worse? In all utterance. Utterance is speaking. Even Moses couldn't use the excuse that he couldn't speak to not do what God said he should be doing. Not being able to speak wasn't even an issue with God. Because God immediately said, look, I made your mouth. If you can't speak, I can remake it. This is so awesome. Let me start again with verse 4. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given to you by Jesus Christ. Christ is the key to getting grace. That in everything you are enriched by him. Man, imagine if we woke up for the next 7 days and said, I'm enriched in everything, in all utterance, in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that I come behind in no gift. That's all because of Christ. You come behind in no gift. Amen. Can God ever use me? You come behind in no gift. Amen. If you come behind in no gift, then God can certainly use you in any situation. You come behind in no gift because of Christ and the grace that comes by him. These are four things that you really need to focus on. You're enriched in everything, in speaking, in knowledge, because the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. It was made known to you. So that you come behind in no gift. What happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel? How much wiser were they than all the other people in their area of study in Babylon? 10 times wiser. And they did not even have the Spirit of God on the inside of them. Because they were in the Old Testament. But yet, God made them 10 times wiser than all of their peers. You have to think about this now. Babylon extended, it was a massive empire. And Nebuchadnezzar picked out the best people of the entire empire to learn the trades of his kingdom so that they could represent his kingdom in government and in positions. And these four men exceeded all of them because God was working in them. And God can work in you just like he did them. Because you have access to Christ. And in Christ, that's the best place to be. This is the most unique message I've ever preached about Christ in my 12 years of pastoring and other years of ministry. Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. I want to chalk you so full of the truth of Christ that you come out of here tonight as powerhouses. Amen. By the way, you have a generator that's been put on the inside of you. It's called rivers of living water. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. But he spoke of the Spirit of God because the Spirit at that time hadn't fallen yet. But a flowing river generates power. So each one of us has a power generator on the inside of us. So you never run out of power. I don't know. I'm very excited about this. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Christ is the key to the gift of eternal life. Did you know that eternal life is a gift? You can't earn it. We certainly didn't deserve it, but God chose to give it to us. Everyone who has faith in Christ, everyone who accepts that Jesus is the Son of God and accepts that he is Lord, you have the gift of eternal life. You know, when you signed up to be a Christian, God said, here's some of your benefits. You have eternal life. Think about that. You're going to live a good life eternally. Eternal life has no end. It goes on and on and on. It'll outlive the Energizer Bunny. You have the gift of eternal life because Christ gave you that gift. It comes through Christ. Some people have the gift of eternal life, but they've never opened up the package. You know, a gift doesn't do you any good unless you open up the package. How many of you still have Christmas gifts in their wrappers? Anybody still have Christmas gifts in their wrappers that people get? Well, the gift isn't benefiting you because it's still in the wrapper, but you got to open up the gift. Do you know God's gift is it's described as indescribable? Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. How can you describe the gift of eternal life? It is so awesome. It is so valuable. It never stops giving. It's the gift that keeps on giving. One size fits all. And it'll never run out. It'll never wear out. It'll never lose its brilliance. It'll never lose its color if you wash it too many times. But Christ is the key to a new life. Your new life begins with Christ. Christ is the beginning of a new life. And he wants you to walk in the newness of life. You know, once you get born again, that's just the beginning. Then you got to, how many of you got to walk it out? Amen. You know, there's so many things that we have to learn about Christ in order to walk in him. And thank God for a place like this that teaches you about Christ. I went to Palmyra tonight and I preached Christ. Maybe I need to cast out some devils. Maybe I need to heal some lame people, but we're certainly going to leave with joy tonight. Go to verse 5, Romans 6. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. That's good news, isn't it? So even if you die in Christ, you will be resurrected. You'll get on that helicopter ride to 777, beautiful avenue. Okay, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Did Christ make it possible for us to be free from sin? In Christ, we do not have to serve sin. It's just too many times we're not living in Christ 24 hours a day, right? You know, we get in and out of Christ real easy. In the sense that, you know, we do open ourselves up for mistakes. All right? Verse 7. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. So once we come to Christ, we got to continue living by faith in Christ. Tomorrow when you get up in the morning, you're going to have to do it by faith in Christ. When you refrain from having a bad attitude, you're going to have to do it by faith in Christ. How many know Christ never had a bad attitude? Christ never had a bad hair day. Christ never had a bad day. Okay? It's when we get out of Christ for that moment that we open ourselves up to bad. We get out of Christ, and where do we get into? We get into the flesh. See, because our flesh is still something that we have to contend with. Because our flesh is still here. All right? When you got born again, it didn't change. It only affected one third of you. That was your spirit. Your flesh has to be subdued. Your mind has to be renewed. And that's a process that we have to do. That process is going to go until Jesus Christ comes back. We're going to have to renew our minds and subdue our bodies until Jesus comes. And it's going to have to be a daily thing. That's why Paul said, I die daily. That's what he was talking about. So Christ is the key to living for God and reckoning yourself dead to sin. So, if you feel old habits knocking at your door, saying, come, can you come out and play? These are old bad habits, right? All of us had some old bad habits. And they come knocking at your door. You say, I'm sorry, I reckon myself dead to sin. The person that you're looking for, he's no longer alive, he's dead. I'm a new man in Christ Jesus. I don't do that anymore. I'm free from that. Glory to God. Why? Because Christ has made us free. Because that's the best place that we need to be, is in Christ Jesus. He's the key. If you want to live for God, you got to do it through Christ. His strength will strengthen you. His peace will come upon you. He will comfort you. He will help you. But you got to do it his way. You can't do it your way. Dying is not pleasant. Listen, your flesh will put up a fight. You know, I read one of the greatest quotes one time. I don't even know what book it was in. I was in the library and I read this quote and it said, it was a tough fight, but the old man had to die. Sometimes it is a tough fight, isn't it? But in Christ Jesus, we win every time. Go to Romans chapter 7, verses 4 and 5. Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God. For when we were in the flesh, the motions of sins, which were by the law, did work in our members to bring forth fruit unto death, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead, wherein we were held, that we should serve in the newness of the Spirit, not in the oldness of the letter. So what do we learn there? Christ is the key to bearing fruit in God. And he wants us to live for him. You know, we can be free from legalism. Christ was not legalistic. The Pharisees were. And he totally upended their legalism. Christ is free. See, legalistic people are not free. The Pharisees were not free. They were described as dead men's bones. Jesus called them himself whitewashed tombstones. That means a tombstone that's been power washed. But what's inside the tombstone? Dead bones. It doesn't matter. You could paint a tombstone rainbow colors. It doesn't change what's on the inside, which was death. We no longer have death on the inside of us. We have life on the inside of us. And that life has been given to us by God through Christ Jesus so that we can go and be fruitful for God. Go and do good things for God. We, each one of us, can go and do great exploits for God. Those who know their God do great exploits. Amen. You could be like Ananias. Well, what did Ananias do? He jump-started the ministry of Paul. Paul was confronted on the road to Damascus by Jesus. And when Jesus confronted him, there was a great light. People who were with Paul saw the light, but they heard the voice or didn't see the light, or they saw the light or didn't hear the voice. I forget which one at the moment. But it's in Acts 9. You can look it up. And, God gave Paul 3 days to make a choice. And the choice was, you can serve me, Paul, but you're going to have a lot of persecution. So Paul had 3 days to consider whether or not he wanted to go through the persecution to do what God wanted him to do. And Paul was actually made blind. So Paul was at a place, and there was a man by the name of Ananias. And God began to speak to Ananias, and he said, I want you to go where Paul is. And he told him exactly where he was. And I want you to go and let's just read it. Go to Acts 9. I want to get my story straight. All right? Okay. Acts 9, verse 11. He called to Ananias. Ananias said, Behold, I'm here. Verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. How many know God knows when we pray? Amen. Okay? And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So, while Paul's praying, God showed him a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him and praying that he could see. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And that was true. Paul did a lot of evil. He was persecuting the people. He was sanctioning their death. He held the coats to the people that stoned Stephen. And he has authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on your name. Now that might give you some apprehension of not to do what God is telling you to do because of Paul's reputation. But how many know God's greater than any reputation? Amen. But the Lord said to him, Go your way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So Paul knew what he was getting into. He knew that by accepting Christ, he was going to have to suffer. Now, your love for Christ has to be greater than your fear of suffering. Because sometimes Christ will call you to hard places. He told Isaiah, I'm going to send you to a people, but they're not going to respond to your message, but I want you to say it anyway. Well, Lord, can't you go, can't you send me to where it's popular? I mean, Jesus' first message, they wanted to throw him over the cliff. Anyway, so Ananias, verse 17, went his way and entered into the house. Now you have to understand, Ananias had accepted Christ. Ananias was in Christ Jesus. Ananias was a vessel that Christ could use. In other words, he was available, he was willing, it didn't matter what the task, even though he had a little apprehension, when God said go, he went. Okay? When you're in Christ Jesus, that's how you have to live your life. You live your life for Christ, not for you anymore. That doesn't mean you're going to neglect this life. That means your life is going to be enhanced because you're living it through Christ Jesus. Anything you do in Christ is always better. It's not worse, it's better. Okay? So Ananias went into the house. He put his hands on him, and I love what he said, Brother Saul. He did not criticize him. He did not condemn him. He accepted him as a brother. The Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto you in the way as you came, has sent me that you might receive your sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Something that he hadn't done before. So my point was, when you live your life for Christ, you're going to do great exploits, even if you don't think that what God has for you is that great. We don't hear much from Ananias after this. But if it wasn't for Ananias, Paul might not have had a ministry. Do you see how important and how critical that was for Ananias to obey God? It didn't seem like much, but how many know that because of Ananias' faithfulness and obedience, he reaped on everywhere that Saul went because God used him to partner with him in that way. Amen? And Ananias got things put to his account in heaven. It's like the shoe salesman that I don't know if it was it was D.L. Moody. A shoe salesman shared the gospel of Christ with D.L. Moody, and he got saved, and D.L. Moody went on to do great things for God. See, you never know what your participation with Christ is going to produce in other people's lives. The point is, you just be available for Christ. Let Christ work in you. Let Christ work through you. Let Christ work on you. Now, Christ never forces his way on anybody. It's always by invitation and acceptance. He gives you an invitation, and he gives you the choice to accept. Jonah, go preach to Nineveh. At first, Jonah didn't accept, did he? He went the opposite way. Well, after 3 days of, God has something about 3 days. You know, he'll let you consider something for 3 days. Because 3 days represents in the ground. After 3 days, it's a resurrection time. So you're here tonight. You've been hearing things about Christ. Christ is the best place to be. Christ is here tonight. His power is here. The Holy Spirit is here to demonstrate, because you know what? It's all about Christ. This is the gospel of Christ. There's nothing that can save a soul from hell other than this one message about Christ. Paul said, I don't want to know anything. Or he said, my goal is to know nothing except Christ crucified. If all you know is Christ, you know a whole lot. Amen. Amen? Now, if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, I want to give you an opportunity to receive prayer on anything that you would need. Amen? Because Christ can meet any need. Matter of fact, he meets needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And we haven't even gotten through the book of Romans yet. We're just getting geared up. So I don't know how long this is going to be, but I'm going to run with it until God says otherwise. Amen? Amen. So for the next few Wednesdays, except when Orlando is here, we're going to continue to learn about the best place to be. Amen. And that is in Christ. It can't compare to anything else. So if there's anybody here tonight and you would need prayer for anything, I just want to invite you to come up and receive from Christ. Because he's the total package. He's our all in all. And he has more than enough than what you need.
In Christ alone, one of their first names. My hope is found. He is my life,
Jordan
my strength.
George. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray for George and Jamie, Lord, in the name of Christ Jesus. Lord, and we just thank you right now, Father, that you would open their eyes of understanding. Father, you would soften the hard hearts. Lord, that you would give them a revelation of love and what it means to be rooted and grounded in your love. Father, we pray that these two would be rooted and grounded in your love. Lord, that they would understand that love doesn't fail. And Lord, I pray for a door of opportunity to be opened for Carolyn to speak your word and to let your anointing go on this couple, Father. And Lord, we come against the work of the devil. You came to destroy the works of the devil. And I thank you, Lord, right now that you're working in this situation in the name of Jesus, because we stand in the gap and we pray for them, Lord. We ask you to have mercy on them. We ask you to forgive them, Father. We ask you to help them in Jesus' name. And Lord, I thank you that when that door is open, she's going to have boldness. And you're going to give her the words to say. And they're going to flow, Father, because don't prepare, but just let the Holy Ghost speak through you, because that's what he will, because you're a conduit in Jesus' name. Oh, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And Lord, I thank you that he is representing this case in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we say in the spirit, break the jaw of the enemy. And Lord, we give you thanks and praise that there is a divine protective shield, Lord, about those. We ask, Father, right now, as she stands in the gap and prays and cries out to you, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you manifest yourself as a shield and a buckler. Lord Jehovah Sabaoth, the God of battles. Lord, I give you thanks and praise that she stands and wins the battle. Lord, she wins the fight. She fights the good fight of faith. And she wins. She lays hold on eternal life. She professes a good confession before many witnesses. And I thank you, Lord, that they're kept safe and sustained in Jesus' name. Oh, we give you thanks and praise, Father, for your work, the work in this situation. And I thank you, Lord, that they will be victorious. They will rebuild. Just like Nehemiah built the wall, it will go up. It will be in record time. And they'll look back and they'll say, look what the Lord has done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Right now, in the name of Jesus, you came and took away Jamie's pain. And I thank you right now, Father, that she is free indeed from pain and discomfort, Lord. I pray that you would touch her body right now with the power of Jesus Christ. I say, body, you will work as you were created to work in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, that you are her healer and you are her great physician. And there's no better medicine than a merry heart. A merry heart does good like a medicine. So, Father, give her a merry heart. Lord, cause her to rejoice. And again, I say rejoice in the name of Jesus, because God is on your side. If God is for you, No one or nothing can be against you, because you are a winner in Christ Jesus. You're more than a conqueror. You're an overcomer. You're a child of God. You're a daughter of the King. God pulled you up out of the pit and the miry clay, and He wants to do great things in your life. So He's your healer just as much as He's your Savior. Say, Lord Jesus, I trust that You're my healer. You're my deliverer, and I'm kept safe in You. In Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I just give You thanks and praise that he experiences Your presence in a greater way and in a deeper way. Lord, draw him closer to You. And I thank You, Father, that You will manifest Your goodness in his life. Your favor will go before him, Father, and just give him all that his heart desires. Lord, bring everything that his heart desires to pass in his life, because he delights himself in You. Oh, and I thank You, Lord, let him experience Your joy and Your goodness in Jesus' name. Amen.
Water You turned into wine.
Father, we give You thanks.
Open the eyes.
Thank You, Lord, that
the blind.
Christ
no
is here.
Like
Lord, You rule and reign her life. And I give You thanks and praise, Father, for breaking through. Give her strength to break through,
into
Father. Having done all to stand therefore, having girded about with the whole armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and taking above all, take your shield of faith, which quenches all the power of
God.
And I thank You, Lord, that You have protected and kept safe by Your hand. Lord, she hides herself under the shadow of the Almighty, and in the secret place, Father, she dwells, and she experiences the power of God in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we give You thanks and praise. What you need to do.
Into the darkness You shine. Out of the ashes we rise. There's no
right now that You season her words with grace.
Like
she knows how to answer every person that she walked to, Father, in the name
our
of
God
Jesus.
Greater,
and Lord,
our God is
we give You thanks and praise.
God,
we give
You
her wisdom, that she is wiser
other
than the serpents, that she is harmless as a dove, Father. And Lord,
God,
I give You thanks and praise that Your grace that comes
God,
through Christ will work in her in such a great
our
way,
God
Father,
greater,
that it will start to repair the breach. Lord, You are the repairer of the breach. And so, Father, thank You for coming in right now and repairing this breach and this gap that has occurred, Father. And we thank You, Lord, that righteousness, Lord, will go forth. And, Lord, Your compassion and Your love will reign in Jesus' name, because Your love conquers. Your love holds up under anything. So, Father, let Your love hold her up in Jesus' name. God, that you believe. So Father, right now, strengthen her faith in Jesus' name. And I thank You, Lord, that she believes for herself, and Your word works for her in Jesus' name. You're no respecter of person. She's a mighty woman of faith in Jesus. She has faith in the power of God. Father, I thank You right now that Christ, by Your hope, Lord, give Him the mind of Christ right now, the mind that was in You. He said, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You have the mind of God to see and to know and to understand and to increase and to walk in it in greater levels of revelation, greater insights of understanding, greater degrees of knowledge, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you bypass the mind and you speak to his heart. Give him a revelation like you gave Peter. Give him a revelation like you gave Ezekiel. Give him a revelation like you gave Daniel. You have the same spirit of faith. You believe and you speak. So, Father, I thank you right now that he is a seer of things behind the scenes. He's a knower of things that are unknown to the natural world. But Lord, he discerns things because he is spiritually minded, which is life and peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So Christ is the best place to be. You can be there 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You have an open invitation to come in the presence of Christ. You can come boldly before the throne of God. And you can obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. You can have a conversation with the Almighty in his Holy of Holies. And this is going to get better and better and better. Father, I thank you right now, Lord, that through Christ comes your grace, your ability, your protection, and your favor. Father, give this couple grace right now. Lord, cause their grace and peace to be multiplied in the name of Jesus. And I tell you what, God is going to use joy as part of the healing process. And every patient that you come in contact with, they're not going to know why, but they're going to see rapid results.
Amen.
And it's going to be because of the joy of the Lord that's on the inside of you. So, Father, right now, we loose that joy. Yes. We let it bubble up and explode like a volcano right now in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Ha, ha, ha. Thank you, Father, for joy.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Joy unspeakable. Words can't describe it. Yeah. It's just got to be let out. So, Father, we take the lid off in the name of Jesus. And, Lord, we just thank you for letting that joy flow like a mighty river in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. You'll never encounter anyone as compassionate as Christ. He understands you more than you understand yourself. He knows how many hairs are on your head. So, let's rejoice in the best place to be. Amen. God bless you. You have to pray for my long-windedness. But God keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, bless you, and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great night.